Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a glorious day here in the South. Finally, we broke the 80-degree mark. It's in the 70s at 8 o'clock in the morning. Can you believe it? I'm so overdone with this summer. I just wish I had some really cool weather like all of our friends in the north. Even our guest today will share with us about his weather in Maine. You know, it's kind of crazy. We just really look forward to the change of the seasons, you know, change of something. You're just looking for a change. And, you know, the seasons come along and we change with our menu, we change with our food, we change with the kids going back to school. And then I wonder, what do we change about our health care? And I looked at it, and I spoke to a lot of friends, and nothing has changed. They're still believing on the same premises that they've grown up with, and those same premises are not serving us anymore. So we'll be talking about naturopathic medicine today. Is this a new fad? Is this all about Birkenstocks and, you know, this green mason jar of that green goop, you know, that looks like it's that stuff you could throw against the wall and it stays there? Well, that's not really always what we would call naturopathic medicine, although it is a facet of it. Good eating, lining your body with really sturdy shoes, and maybe taking care of yourself. So naturopathic medicine, what is it? How can it help you? And why should you even give it care? That's really important because today we're going to be speaking about back pain. And back pain means anything from the back of the neck all the way down to the tailbone. You know, and that's really a huge difference because if you're just looking for symptom relief at the bottom of that little orange bottle, I don't think you'll be getting anything that's going to heal your body. All it's going to do is take the edge off to get to the next day. And does that really help you in the long run? If I'm taking care of this pain today because I really have to get back to work, and then I look at it 2 or 3 weeks from now, my prescription runs out, I'm actually the same or worse, I have a problem. And if you do this for years and years, really, where are you going and how much damage did you do to your body? You know, the other day it was on the news about someone getting a knee replacement. And the person was in their 60s, and he said, oh, yeah, I've been dealing with it all these decades since college, and now finally I'm going to get it replaced. My thought was, what have you been doing all along to help that heal? It's not something that you just deal with the symptoms because you want to keep running your life on your own terms, and then turn around and say, okay, it's worn out now. Now I can get a new one because now I have time. You can't get a new back. You can't get a new neck, although there is a whole lot of what I call technology medicine out there now that is really trying to do that. But does it really help you? Does it really help your body function better? Does it really give you better quality of life? That would be something we'll be talking about today. My guest is Dr. Christopher Maloney. He is a naturopathic physician in Maine, and he has a great concept about the back. We're going to be going all the way from top to bottom, and he'll tell us little trigger points and little things that he might think if he's looking at the back, or if a patient came to him and said, I've had back pain. That's such a general term. It's almost like saying there's a boat in the ocean, you know? You really didn't get anywhere, did you? And I love when my kids tell me this, look at that. And it's like, what? Look at what? So we're really going to be focusing in and learning how to speak to the doctor and say, this is what's happening with me. What do you think? But being more specific, it's not like, oh, look at that, and you have no idea. So I'd like to welcome to the show Dr. Christopher Maloney. Dr. Chris, hi, how are you?
Hi, thank you for having me on the show. I'm doing well. Here in Maine, it's actually about 55 degrees and raining, but that's normal for us.
Well, you know what? That's really nice to have it at that temperature, though, isn't it, for a change?
Yeah, it is. We have a wonderful fall here. It's It's one of the nicest things about me. So,
yeah, that sounds
so
great.
I'm a naturopathic doctor here in Maine, and that means that in Maine I'm a licensed doctor. I have a lot of primary care ability, and I can prescribe certain medications. But I generally don't, because patients will go to an MD or DO for that. What I tend to do as an ND here in Maine is I tend to take the patients that have not had success with conventional medicine, and they've basically come to me looking for some solutions when they've been told either it's in their head, they have stress, or there's nothing that can be done, which I find interesting because it's basically nothing that can be done within a conventional model. And there's so many things that can be done. Every year there's 30,000 journals published, and we're always, you know, as an ND, I'm always looking for the simple solutions for people. So.
And doesn't that make, I think that's what we're getting most of our clients lately that are saying, I've been doing this forever and it just finally doesn't seem to work. And we wonder, you know, why we've been doing it so long, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, well, they've been told that this is expected for them. There's a prescription for this, though there isn't, or there's a surgery for this, but eventually when you absolutely have to have the surgery, hopefully, and beyond that, they're not giving me options. No one's been told. Oftentimes, I'm the first person to say to them, have you seen a physical therapist? Have you seen someone with exercises? Have you seen, like, no, they never prescribed that. I'm like, well, there's this whole continuum of illness where you can affect it so dramatically by doing changes within your life that when we look at the one end, which is an acute, you know, situation where you've been in a car accident, you need to have them repair you, and then the other end of the situation is where you've had chronic pain for 40, 50, 60 years, you've tried everything else, which is including us, and have to have surgery, but we kind of ignore in conventional medicine, they ignore that there's, most of us don't live in the hospital, and most of us don't want to have a major surgery done. So given that, what else can I do? And if I don't want to take a pill for it or if the pills don't work, what else can I do? And that's where naturopathic doctors come in and say, oh, there's so many things you can do to help yourself. It's just that you're not going to hear that because they're going to say, well, I don't have a script for you that's going to work, or you're not really a candidate for surgery yet. So we're so helpful to people if they know that we exist, which is the hardest part to tell them.
I think the hardest part, too, is that when you do go to the conventional physician, you know, he starts to give you the drugs and you go back and you continuously keep saying the same thing about your pain. But then you get in this paradigm where I'm going to have you sign this little release that says you're going to go now under controlled management pain care. And it's like, whoa. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd had migraines forever in the 70s and 80s, and they had that sheet. And it was like, I don't think so, you know, because, you know,
right,
you had to sign the release that says, you know, I'm not a drug addict, I'm just in pain, and I'm going to continue to come to my doctor to get my controlled medications. And how long can we actually go down that before that will, you know, not work either?
No. The trick is that once you become the pain medication typically doesn't work long term. You have to go up on dosage, and that's, you know, when I'll see a patient and they've passed the range of say 2 oxycodone a day, at that point the pain is not controlled by the oxy anymore. It's not that oxycodone being a morphine derivative. Once you've gotten onto morphine and it doesn't control your pain, adding more morphine eventually causes more side effects and causes other side, you know, basically shut down your digestion tract, or shut down your breathing, and that's not going to get you where you need to go. If your body can break through a kind of a morphine pain control, you're done. You can't. That's as far as they can go. They'll cut your nerves or something terrible like that. But short of that, you need to find another solution, and that's what we do.
I love the idea. We had a family member who, she was having numbness in her hands, and they said, oh, well, let's take out the disc in your neck. It was like, what? And they did. She let them do it. They took out the disc in her neck, and it was like, Are you serious? They took out a bunch of vertebrae. They took out two vertebrae in one disc, and it was like, are you seriously kidding me? And it was like, oh, yeah, it was no big deal. And it was like, oh, wow, you know. And we don't want to even go to those extremes. So I think let's go back to the beginning. When you do go to your doctor, I mean, even with naturopathic physicians, and you say I'm having pain in my back, and I love when you go to some doctors, they'll say, oh, okay, where in your back? And you'll just say, oh, the bottom. And they'll say, oh, okay, go get an x-ray. They never touch you. They never ask you any questions. Right. Does this hurt? Where is it? And then you put your finger on their back, and it's like, no, that's not where I'm telling you. It's over here. And it's like, here. No, that's not where it is. And you can go 5 or 6, sometimes 10 points, and not find that pain. And really, it's not even right in the place where they're originally saying. So how do they come to you and they would say, I'm in pain, and what do you, I mean, we never as naturopathic physicians say, okay, go get an x-ray. We always do the pointy finger. Huh. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
So, yeah, if you came in to see me with a back pain, I would say, okay, so usually what I start off with is I'd say, so there was a time when you didn't have this pain, right? There was a time when you had, you know, and that's usually that gives me a lot more information right off the bat, because if they said to me, well, no, I've always had this pain, then we're dealing with something very chronic. But generally it's something, oh, yes, there was this incident that, you know, I was in a car accident, which is common. In that case, you make sure that they've had the workup and that this is chronic. But then if they haven't had anything traumatic happened to them, they said, well, I woke up one morning and I was in this pain, you can really kind of rule out a whole bunch of things right off the bat. And then I say, well, where's the pain? But also, when does it show up? When does it not show up? What is, you know, talk to me about, I find I have the complete story of their pain. I know when it hits them, when it doesn't hit them, if anything makes it better, what makes it worse. And then I go from there, I say, well, let's have a look. And I'll go to their back or to their neck, and I'll say, okay, so where, show me, you know, point to where it is, and what does it radiate to, and then I'll push, and I'll say, okay, so, and then you turn your, you know, you basically, can you replicate the pain, can you generate the pain, and that'll tell you exactly what nerves, what muscles, what bones are involved with it, and that process of it's an educational process for the patient. See, even if I was unable to affect their pain in any way, letting the patient, giving the patient the information, teaching the patient about their back, about what muscles are connected to what muscles and where the pain is coming from and why it radiates to where it goes. Oftentimes, I'm the first person to have kind of isolated or documented for them and told them what the pain, what's happening with the pain, where is it going, why is it doing that, why does my eye hurt when I twist my head this way, why does my hand start to tingle, why does my neck twinge on the other side, and then my mid-back twinge. That helps them so much, because the problem with pain is there's objectively the nerves are inflamed, but then the subjective aspect of pain is, I don't know when it's going to hurt me. I don't have no control over that. And what's terrible is when you have patients who've been told there's nothing that you can do, and so they're kind of at the mercy of their pain. They're saying, well, I don't know when it's going to happen or what causes it. And when I work them through the process of what causes it, they are able to take more control or able to understand more what's happening with the pain. And that gives them some level of subjective control, where they're like, okay, this pain isn't going to strike me out of the dark, you know, out of the blue. I'm not going to writhe in agony. I just have to bend my head a certain way, and that's what's going to cause it. And otherwise, I'm actually can live my life. Even if I can do nothing for them, I can at least help them, teach them where the pain is and what's happening for them.
I think sometimes the idea of pain is the idea of fear. And when you tell them what's in your body, I says it's bones, it's muscles, blood vessels, and nerves. Simple, okay? It is right. Not this big woo-woo thing that all of a sudden it's going to crack open and this humongous, tremendous pain is just going to take over your every being. It's, I think sometimes they're so afraid of conceptually what might happen and create this
right.
illusion that is more of a fear-based problem with the pain than telling them actually, hey, it's your two bones. They're just rubbing the wrong way. Maybe we just need to move them a little. It's like, oh, okay. But, you know, not this. I've got this big, huge thing.
Right. For patients, the difference between a bone or muscle pain and something, you know, do I have cancer? And they're thinking in their heads, do I have cancer? Do I have something horrible happening to me? They go online, they look on Google, and they'll type in back pain.
Yep.
You can have some really horrible back pains that are very unlikely to be occurring in your body, but no one's talked to them about those fears. Their conventional doctor doesn't have the time. They don't take the time to sit down with somebody like I do for an hour and a half, go through the case from beginning to end, answer all their questions. I have patients actually write me the whole list of questions, like, let's answer everything. And then also go through and say, what else is happening in your body? Is that connected to this pain? Is that associated, or is it something completely separate? And that process, they ask me, you know, about an hour into the conversation, they'll ask me, well, do you think it's cancer? I'm like, well, let's talk about what that would be. We can do testing, but this is what's going on. And, you know, it's very unlikely to be because it's occurring in different parts of your body, and it's not something that's going to happen in one location. But they haven't asked their conventional doctor that because they feel scared. They feel like even asking that will get them ridiculed, and it's a horrible thing. So,
I think so, too, when you go to the doctor. You have these lists of questions, and the doctor doesn't have time, or he's not even paying attention. He's just dictating to his person, or else he's typing on the computer nowadays with this new standard of care. And, you know, if you've gotten through three or four questions, you're like, oh, man, this is just not working, you know? And you just stop. If you're the patient, you just stop.
Right.
You're not going to ask any more questions. It doesn't matter if your most important question was number 10 on the list. You're not going to get to it, you know, because you
right.
just felt unheard, unlistened to, and rushed. And then you can't even remember
right.
the answers to the first ones, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's a horrible situation because I remember actually running into a cardiologist who was doing primary care, which was an odd thing to begin with. And I had lost feeling in my hand. And, of course, I know now that it was my shoulder and my neck that was involved. But I said to him in passing, I said, I also think I might have a heart murmur. Would you listen to my heart?
Right.
And he looked at me in straight face. He said, we only have time for one issue. And I thought to myself,
yeah.
Geez, you know, my hand might be numb because my heart is having a problem. Maybe, you know, it's on the wall that you're a cardiologist. This is your real expertise. I'm just asking for a quick listen. And you don't have time. So in that case, if I'd actually had something wrong with my heart, that person would have just kicked me out because he doesn't have the time for it. And I'm often, you see the advertisements for We Care For You. Like,
mm-hmm.
Well, if you care for people, you care. There's only one way to care. You either care or you don't care. And I can tell you, he just didn't care. He wanted me out of the room. So, and that's,
you know, that's,
I feel that's like
that's true.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
That's true because you know what they'll do, too, is the famous last words are, that's not my expertise. Here, go to him. And they'll give you another doctor's
right.
name. In other words, if you have pain in your back but you feel like your foot is hurting, they're going to say go to a foot doctor when it's all
right.
connected. How could they assume that it's not?
Right. Oh, it's the same system. And that's what I feel like they've been trained. You know, they've been trained. I love my sister-in-law, but she's been trained. She's a pediatric urologist, which means she handles kids and she handles their peeing. And when she had a kid who broke her arm in the playground, she didn't know what to do, and she refused to take any action because that's not her expertise. And this woman's had 20 years of clinical experience. I think she could handle a broken arm, but
yeah,
she
really.
Didn't want to get involved because all she does is that part of that person. And that's what we've
yeah.
got is we've got a bunch of people who handle little pieces of stuff. And when you need someone to kind of crank it back and look at the whole picture, the primary care was supposed to do that. But the framework that we've got now is the primary care is like, well, just go to the expert, and let's do what they say.
Yeah.
Not I'm in charge. I'm the primary person in charge of your care. It's been turned backwards, and naturopathic doctors, we don't do that. We actually say, you're here, it's you, it's me, we're taking care of everything here as much as we can. That's what we're going to do. We're going to take the time, we are actually going to care about you, and we're going to make sure that you can improve as many areas of your life as you possibly can.
So let's start walking down. You talk about the back as a map of different organs and muscles and nerves and trigger points. Let's start up at the neck. So what would you be looking for if someone came in with neck pain? Myself, I can always remember the computer thing. So you bend your shoulders forward and you tip your head backwards and you're like, you've got all these bones in the back of your neck that are all cranked the wrong way. So let's start right there.
Okay, so that's, I mean, we just get so, it's so much fun when you see patients who've been on the front of a computer for 8 hours and they say, well, my back hurts. I'm like, really? That's amazing. Extraordinary. You know, you have, and you'll say, I'll have them, the first thing I do in that case, if they've got chronic stuff from computer use, is I'd say, let's have you tip forward. Let's do, you know, show me what you've looked like. Go to the keyboard. Just put your hands out to the keyboard as if you would. And usually their neck will tighten, and they'll go right into that lovely, terrible position for themselves. And I'll say, okay, so there's that problem. Here's the physical issue. But what's interesting is immediately at that point, because they've got both hands forward, I'll look to that kind of, well, what's going on in terms of why is the left shoulder higher or why is the right shoulder higher? And usually at that point, that's where the emotions come in. And that person, they'll say, okay, so you're late for work. And then you just watch the shoulder rise up because you're like, okay,
right.
So that's your kind of, usually it's the left shoulder. I'm responsible for everything in my world, and I'm kind of scared about it, so I'm hunching that shoulder. And then I'll say, well, okay, actually, your boss is waiting for you. You've got 15 new projects to do. And usually the right shoulder will start kind of going up. And I'll say, okay, so what happens is that you're at work, you're in that bad position, and then your boss comes in, and then the right shoulder goes up, and they go, oh, that's the pain. Like, yeah. So that's where you get that physical background and then that emotional overlay. And the problem is I used to just work on the physical stuff and get them to relax the shoulder and get the right position. And then what I'd find is that they would do that, and they'd come back through the pain and get better. You know, I did all the stuff you told me, my chair's right, my thing's right. But they don't get better. And you're like, well, what's going on? And they say, well, what happens is I'm fine except for Tuesdays. Like, what happens on Tuesdays? My boss comes in and we have that fun conversation that we always have. I say, okay, so Tuesdays your neck hurts and otherwise you're fine. And it's like, okay, so let's put you there and talk to me about your boss. And I actually put my hand on their shoulder at that point. And I'll say, so your boss just walked in. The shoulder rises up. Okay, hey, you know, you're scared about the next project he's going to give you. So I want you to be aware that you just tighten your shoulder. And usually that's the first point when they go, oh, I tightened my shoulder? I'm like, yeah, you don't know that your shoulder's up to your ear? No, I didn't really think about it. I never thought that was happening. And so what I'll do is then we can do a bunch of exercises and stuff. But just the sudden awareness that every time the boss comes near them, they're kind of, you know, literally like an animal shying away from that person means that pain is there even if they've done anything to correct their physical body. So right shoulder is fear, left shoulder is responsibility. And generally those two, most of us tend to bounce the two back and forth, and it's so common to see people with their shoulders up by their ears. That you know, I almost think that we all could use a little bit of awareness that, you know, hey, am I putting this into my shoulders? Am I taking on the weight of this issue?
And it is the weight of their issue. It's also the weight of their life. A lot of people have so many things that they have to get done in a day, and they start out in the morning, you know, standing up straight and ready to go. But by the end of the day, they're saying, my back is hurting so much. But really, it's that maybe they didn't get all the things done they were supposed to, or maybe they had issues all along the way, or else they're anticipating the next day, you know, to be even a bigger day. And that's what we're all talking about is, you know, how much of a weight of all of your life can you put on your back? So your back pains are definitely muscles, bones, blood vessels, and nerves, but they're also your emotional and your lifestyle. And that's what Dr. Maloney is saying, is how all of these things fit together. And if you're just pot-shotting and going in and saying, I got pain, get it going, I got to be somewhere else, that's really not going to serve you. So can you tell us a little bit about how the neck, let's move down a little bit into the upper back. We always talk about in the upper back, definitely you're starting to get into the organs and how those organs can affect your back, but also right. your extremities, your hands and your arms. I mean, to have pain in the right. end of your fingers, you got to look sometimes in your back, not just at the end of your fingers.
Right. Yeah, generally what happens with any kind of finger or wrist pain, I generally see that in a forearm, that there's tightness in the upper part, of the lower part of the arm, in the upper part of the arm, usually around the under, the armpit, and then right as the neck hits the shoulders, that area typically I can push. If someone has finger pain, typically I can just push on their neck and they go, oh, that's the pain. I'm like, yeah, there's a, where the nerves come out kind of, if you were tightening your neck, right as you go to the side there, there's all the nerves come out of that, the spine, and that's typically also locked down for most people. And then as we get into the lower, that upper back, what happens is that same, the big muscle that goes from the back of the head all the way down to that, into that shoulder blade area, that trapezius muscle, that muscle will pull. They'll feel it in the head and the neck, but that muscle also is pulling in that mid-back area. And that mid-back area is very interesting because that was when I first started thinking about emotions for patients, because that was that kind of right at the tip of your shoulder blade where that meets your spine, that area was, I was working on a patient that I'd work on her for 45 minutes and she'd say, oh, it feels good. You know, you've really massaged this out and gotten this all loosened up for me. And then she'd get up and I'd say, okay, well, time to go. You got to go back to your life. And she'd just retighten. And eventually I said, well, what, you know, tell me about your life. And she said, oh, yeah, I feel like my ex-husband stabs me in the back every day because I have to deal with our kids. And that was my click in my head. I went, wait, do you feel like you got stabbed in the back? And if someone was going to stab you in the back, that would be where they'd stab you. And so I said, let's just imagine that. I could see your whole back spasm. I said, do you want to know that you're basically spasming that mid-back? And that's also leading to your headaches up into your neck because that trapezius tightens, that top of your head comes back and kind of pulls on the whole thing. So typically I will see that mid-back area is spouses and children. People kind of hold that close to their heart, if you will, or they hold that close to themselves, and they will, you know, the same idea that there's responsibility on the left side and fear for their kids or their spouse on the right. And that group of that has, I can at this point, if I sit down, if you blindfolded me, I could sit down on have my patients lie down, I could look at their back, and I could tell you who I'm working on based on where the muscles are tight. And not only that, I can tell you how their partner's doing because I'd say, so, your husband's sicker this week, isn't he? Because you're tightening up. You know, you haven't had a physical trauma, but there's an emotional tension there that's holding you. And that is going to affect your breathing because that's, as you said, those are the nerves that go out to the ribs and also as we get down a little bit lower into the stomach. So these people are having, you know, they can't breathe and they have, you know, starting to have digestive problems and their back pain. And suddenly you've got three different specialists involved in their case when, in fact, it's one issue that we're dealing with.
I think the biggest one is reflux. Everybody talks about, and, you know, reflux could be a bazillion things. But when you go to the doctor, it's kind of like, okay, well, let's stop it and take this. When really, like we're saying, in the middle back, that's really all the nerves that go to all those muscles, that go to all those organs in that area. So you're affecting your back muscles, your spine, all those nerves, your diaphragm, your lungs, your heart, your stomach. Everything is there. There's you can't get away from it. So having just reflux
right.
and thinking it's just this little tiny thing, it's no big deal, and you eat two bags of Tums every day or you get the prescription, potentially you wonder why you still have the problem and why you're still taking those drugs. In other words, you're not supposed to be taking the drug for reflux and in your 30s and 40s and take that till the day you die. That's really not what that's meant to be.
Yeah. No, it's a terrible situation because for me, if I want to give myself reflux, I can eat. What I do is I need to go to a King's buffet or a major buffet, and I need to eat a lot of really fatty meat, way beyond when I'm full, and I can give myself some really good reflux really quickly that way, and it'll last about a day, day and a half if I just keep, you know, ignoring it. but it goes away over time because I stop eating that way. So there's just that. But then if you've got back tension that's already irritating your stomach, so that when you don't actually aren't aware of having reflux and just basically your stomach's just churning and churning and churning, that person's going to have, they'll say, well, you know, it happens, it'll happen at night when I'm nervous rather than any food, or it'll happen away from any, you know, anything else that I'm doing or even when I'm not exercising. They're just lying there and they're having reflux. And that, to me, when you give somebody an antacid, when you give that dries up their acid, all you're doing is taking the pain away. And the studies that I've seen show that basically over time, you're still, because the stomach fluids, even if there's no acid, are washing up into the upper part of the throat, you're still getting all the kind of precancerous changes. So we're setting ourselves up for just an epidemic of kind of throat cancer in about 20 years. Because it's just suppressing the pain of the reflux. It's not actually treating the illness. Whereas if we could get people to eat differently and then also to do some very simple stretching and some ideas of, you know, maybe getting your back to the point where you can actually move your ribs freely rather than, you know, typically what I'll see is people breathing only straight up into their upper shoulders, they're not breathing, the whole ribs aren't moving. So if that's not happening, then they're going to have reflux. And that pulling up is also pulling on the stomach. So I will often teach patients to breathe into their stomachs to get, and that's just a simple idea of the balloon is always being pulled up. It's going to start, the stomach's going to start heading up into that diaphragm, heading up into those lung area and give you more reflux. Whereas if you're breathing into your stomach, you can actually kind of massage your stomach away from giving you the acid up in there. So I work on the back in that case. I'll also teach them, you know, I'll talk to them about what I call horking your food, which is eating it in three
okay.
bites. Eating a 16-pound steak in three bites is a bad idea.
Mm. Well, you know, and also let's talk about the lungs for a second, because now that we're heading into the seasonal changes in the winter, people getting colds, and everybody that has a cold, the first thing they do is they hunch forward and roll forward. And that's just the opposite of what you need to do, because the more air you can exchange and oxygen in your lungs and more you can stretch those lungs open, the quicker that cold will go, the better you'll be able to feel. And it just starts that train. But if you keep hunching forward, just like you hunching forward, getting stiff and sore, and, oh, it hurts to cough, then what you do is you end up putting, like, super glue in your lungs, you know, or like putty.
Right.
Everything just sticks together like glue, and you end up with this dried-up syrupy stuff, and you just can't open them up then. You know, so I always tell everybody, you know, the first day you're sick is the best day to, you know, hey, get out there and stretch those lungs as hard as you can. Just arms over your head 100 times. Keep going. Every time you turn around, you know. And how different of a concept that is versus, you know, the regular doctors go home, go to sleep and roll forward. It's like, I don't think so, right?
Right. No. What I find most troubling is that at the end stages, when you're talking about, you know, we have somebody with cystic fibrosis who's got lungs that fill up with fluid all the time. Everybody knows to have them do breathing exercises, to pound them on the back to get the fluid out. But when someone has, you know, starting a cold, they think, oh, hey, I need to isolate. I need to stay home, sit home and watch TV. I'm like, get out, move. In the worst case scenario, you're literally allowing the bacteria to sit in your lung, or the virus to sit in your lung. You're not making it move. And I actually really don't like anti-mucus compounds, because that mucus is supposed to clean the stuff out. And you're like, oh, I don't want to have snotty nose. I'm like, well, that snotty nose is actually your body getting rid of the virus. And otherwise, you don't have a snotty nose and your body's stuck with having to deal with the stuff rather than having gumming it up and getting it out of you. So we do so many foolish things to kind of suppress the, you know, to push the body down when in so many cases it's trying to help us. It's saying, hey, I really need to do that. Even to the point where I tell people sometimes, go home, have a good cry. Go watch a sad movie. Go get to, you know, or better yet, go and watch something that's really funny. Get yourself to have a really good belly laugh.
Right.
Get that thing, start get things moving down there.
And also, too, let's talk about the lower back. In lower back now, I think a lot of people don't consider the idea of potential cancer, but the lower back is an area where you potentially would look there first because you have so many vital organs, you know, the female and the male organs, and those are just always something that, hey, I'm zoning in on that first and let's rule it out. And when that's ruled out, then you have to look at, is my big toe hurting? Are my shoes hurting? You know, is my knee swollen up? You know, is the blood flow actually getting back up to my heart? Why do I have such high blood pressure? Maybe things aren't getting back up there. So in the lower back, I kind of think it is Grand Central Station, you know. If this isn't, you know, going smoothly and somebody drops their bags and their clothes spill out all along, you can see the results of that. And you have to think about it, that in your body. All it takes is one little tiny, tiny fragment of something gone amiss, and it will affect everything. And I'm sure you've found that.
Oh, yeah. No, if somebody's, whenever you're looking at anything with back pain, you can't rule out, you'd say, well, I'm going to start from the bottom up. Especially if somebody comes in and they're limping. And say, well, you know, I have low back pain, doc. I'm like, well, you're leaning 90% of the time on one leg. So I would expect you to have some kind of pain because one side of your body is doing all the work. You know, but you start from the ground up and you start working your way up there. And if everything's kind of aligned and the feet are where they need to be and the knees aren't throwing things off, then you start, you'll ask questions like, you know, does it happen, you know, twice a month or once a month? I have the pain every month and like about a week before your period. And like, yes. I'm like, okay, so at that point we're talking about referred pain. Pain that's, you know, happening in the female organs, but actually the nerves to those organs are coming to the back, and the back is experiencing that pain as well. Or if a gentleman's having, you know, difficulty urinating, and he's like, yeah, actually I've got some pain, and I've had some urgency, and I also have pain in my mid and low back. I'm like, okay, well, that's making me really kind of scared for you that there's something else going on here, and it's not just your back. And I think it's a real wake-up call for people to understand that. You know, you're like, well, I'm just, nothing can be done. I'm like, well, the trouble is, you know, I think I told you before that there's this case where I had a guy come in for 4 months and he had a metastatic cancer, but he didn't tell me that he had a metastatic cancer. And none of his doctors were telling me that he had a metastatic cancer. And so I, you know, over time figured out that this is what was wrong with this guy because nothing was working and it's getting progressively worse. And over time, I look at it now and I'm thinking, you know, there's other people that I've worked on that have had uncontrolled back pain that was simply a progression of something that was happening inside them. And we need to get to the point where we recognize that when you're in pain, that's actually a signal the body's giving us to do something. It's not just a sign, hey, things are wearing down. It's a, hey, ding, ding, ding. It's like an alarm going off, a fire alarm going off in your body. And so many people are like, oh, I need to pull the plug on that fire alarm. I'm like, no, no, no. You probably want to listen to the fire alarm. What's going on? Let's see if we can resolve the issue, the origination of that issue, rather than just pull out the plug on the fire alarm. So I wish we did that so much more than we do.
I know. And when we also think about the lower back, you know, blood vessels can give you pain, and nerves can give you pain, and it might not have anything to do with what the bones and the muscles are doing, you know. That's why when you're touching the patient, you can see that. X-rays don't always give you the entire vision. What the X-rays are telling you is the bones are lined up and, hey, that's good to go. You know, there's so many other tests out there that would tell you, is there inflammation? Is there swelling? Is there congestion? Is something pinched off? You know, but a lot of people don't get all of those tests. Or when they do get those tests, the people don't know how to read them because they don't have the person in front of them saying, this is where my pain is. They just get a sheet from the doctor that says low back pain, evaluate. And it's like, really?
Right.
You know, so I encourage people to, you know, if you have an X-ray done, grab that X-ray, take it to your doctor and say, show me where it is. Tell me what it is.
Right.
You know, and if you don't get a satisfactory answer, keep that X-ray and go to somebody else, you know, because it's only you that's going to have to be able to deal with it. It's not about you and I as doctors, you know, it's the patient. they're the ones who can't lay in bed and sleep, or they can't get in and out of the car successfully, or they have to have their kids carry their groceries because they can't do it anymore. You know, so it's really,
right.
You need to have that conversation,
right.
And be able to participate. You can't just walk in and say, hey,
right.
My doctor didn't help me. Hey, I'm going to put my arms out. Hey, you fix me. And that's not what you and I are saying
right.
at all. It's a very participatory
no.
medicine.
Yeah. I wish that we, I think in Taiwan, they actually give the medical records to the patients and let them take it from doctor to doctor. I wish we
right.
did that, because I had a patient who had referred pain to her lower back, her also abdominal pain. We talked about menses and the whole thing. She eventually went in and got an x-ray because something was just not right. And turned out, this is still in progress, we'll see how this goes out. Turned out somebody had done a surgery on her a couple years back and left a surgical wire in her. So she was having a lot of pain, but nobody was
yeah.
looking for it. And I think
right.
at this point we're in the process of trying to get an expert to kind of confirm my diagnosis of, hey, there's a big chunk of steel in your body, and maybe you should have that fixed before we do anything else. And that's the kind of thing where the patient not having the records, the other doctors, of course the doctor who performed the surgery didn't say, oh, yeah, I might have left something in you. That had to be done by somebody else who's not, you know, associated with the first doctor. So if patients actually take control of their stuff, take control of their own process of healing, there's nothing they can't do. I've seen them do amazing things that startle me. It's when they think, oh, doctor, I'm going to lie here. I'm just going to be patient. I'm like, don't be patient. Be active. I wish we could call them actives.
Right.
You're an active. You're
right.
Not a patient anymore.
Yeah. And because, really, they'll tell you what you need to know. The patient will tell you what you need to know. But if you don't ask the questions, you're not getting anywhere either. And you need to keep probing. You know, doctors need to keep probing. What did you say? How did you say that? I didn't hear you. Can you say it differently? You know, whatever that might be. It's not just, like I said in the beginning of the call, I have pain over there. And it's like, oh, that's so elusive. You know, it may not
right.
even be, it may be in the 360 on the other side of the body, just coming from a referred area,
right.
you know.
Right.
I mean, how many times have you seen, you've seen it with the map of the back that you talk about,
right.
you know, being
yep.
referred from a different area.
Right. You can have what's really fun is to watch a patient who's had neck pain from, say, taking care of an elderly parent. And they're just feeling very responsible all the time. That parent dies, and then rather than letting go of that pain, letting go of that kind of chronic tension, it'll go to their low back. They'll kind of go to this global fear for everyone. And, you know, they'll come in, and I'll say, how much time do you spend reading the paper every day? Oh, I spend 3 hours on the paper, and I go online, and I'm like, well, and how does that – well, I'm just so concerned about, you know, Syria. And I'm like, well, are you going to do something about Syria
right.
this week? Or, you know, what are you – but they don't know how to let go of that tension. So it's migrated from the neck down to the lower back. And – Within conventional medicine, all we have is, well, let's just take the painkiller. Who knows why that's happening? But for me, to track that it's gone to the low back and then to explain to them why it's going on and then say, okay, we need to do some yoga, we need to do some stretches, you need to make sure you're on a ration or we're going to quarantine away your paper for a couple of days to see how you do, that person suddenly sees their life completely differently because they've learned that their body is one big piece and that everything is affecting itself. And that's, if I could actually take that and hand it to all of my patients and say, you are now in charge of your life, you're now in charge of taking care of yourself, and no one is going to take that away from you ever again. We all work for you. You are our boss. And just come in and feel that you're in charge. I wish I could just hand that to everybody.
Well, we always have the concept, too, with this new healthcare paradigm, believing that everything's going to be online, and you can go no matter where, everywhere you walk in, everybody's going to have all your information. And sorry to burst your bubble, but that's not going to happen. Because, you know, medical records are different at every single office. You can go to 10 offices and you could see 10 different systems and they don't talk to each other. And you may go to another 10 that they don't even have systems. So it's really up to the patient to be able to make a difference about their own health. I mean, If a doctor's telling you something and you don't like what he's telling you, get the piece of paper that he's telling you it about and take it to somebody else.
Right. And it's actually the worst situation that I've seen is because electronic records sometimes get misfiled. You know, they put in the wrong box.
Yeah.
I've had a patient who was told, he was said, you know, this is someone, it was actually, when I actually read through the record, I'm like, this is clearly another patient. There's another name at the top of this, but it was stapled to the back of his record, and it said this individual has these five different medications, these five illnesses that he doesn't have. And so in the worst case scenario, you need as a patient to be in charge because you're like, no, wait, why am I getting this? Based on what?
Right.
And if you're a conventional doctor, like, just take it because this is on, it's in your record. And my answer is, well, sometimes your records, I mean, I've seen records where they report five different diagnoses that the person, you know, may have had at some point but no longer has, and they're just folded forward by the computer. And so the doctor looks and says, you have 15 different things, and you need to be taking all these medications. And I'm like, those are all things from 20 years ago. That's nothing that
and
you need to be taking.
And the computer systems don't delete them because you can't delete it. Once you've got something, if you go to the doctor and you say you have something and he gives you a name and you feel better now because you got a name to what your problem or your pain is and you get a treatment, which is a prescription, that does not go away. I think people have the concept that, you know, that that's something that you just had then and it's gone, and it's not. The only things that fall off are cold and flu. Nothing else falls off.
Right. This is a case of a patient who had really, he was diagnosed with epilepsy, and he came in to see me, and he had neck pain, and so I pushed on his neck, and he went into like a seizure-type action. I stopped pushing on his neck, and it went away, put it back and went away, and I said, well, you know, I obviously don't have epilepsy. You're supposed to be a firefighter. You have really bad neck pain. It's shooting into your mid-back, and I relieved his pain. He didn't have any more episodes, but for 2 years, he wasn't allowed to drive because they said, this is an epilepsy. And he actually had a brain scan when he was in one of his seizures, and it did look like epilepsy, but I had to go through all the process of explaining to them that, you know, do another scan. And they're like, oh, wait, he doesn't have it now. I'm like, yeah, amazing. I cured epilepsy, but it wasn't epilepsy. It was just, he was literally, the neck pain was actually shooting into his head and firing off the brain funny. So the trouble was it took 2 years for him to get his license back. But he was so depressed because of his diagnosis. He was so terrible. You know, his life was over. He couldn't drive anywhere. He couldn't go anywhere. He had this uncontrolled epilepsy. And the last time I saw him, he was out golfing. He seems like a younger man because he doesn't have that diagnosis. And every 6 months we see each other for his neck pain and we talk about it. And otherwise he's off doing his thing. And it's kind of amazing. But the point is no one else would have taken the time, energy, and cared enough to do that with him.
That's the truth. Well, Dr. Chris, we have about 10 more minutes. Can you give us a little bit idea about some of the therapies that you use? And do you believe about the whole bag of, you know, let's take away all of your drugs and let's give you a whole bag of supplements? To me, I think that's just trading apples for bananas, you know. That's my thought on it.
Right. So the therapies that I tend to use, basically my background is in trying to make sure, the reason I became a naturopathic doctor in the first place was to find cures for people, to find solutions that they no longer had to think about taking something or doing something. For me, when you've got a brace on your leg, you haven't cured the illness, you've just managed the disease. And so if you've got a drug or a plate of supplements you have to take every morning to kind of manage your situation, that, to me, isn't really curative. That's you're managing. And that's really the model that I think most people take. But for me, it's looking 10 years out. I want people to, 10 years from now, may not remember my name, but they're going to be better because they saw me. And in order to do that, I have to focus on what is this person going to be able to do for the next 10 years that they're not going to mind doing on a daily basis or at least a couple times a week, that they're not going to mind doing, that they can kind of build into their life. And that requires that, you know, I can to some degree base some things on supplements. I can start them on something. But it's got to be, you know, a short trial, you know, a month or 2 months on this. And then if it works, we say, okay, these are the foods that contain the same thing that you just took in a pill form. And generally, with the if people will go to the food directly, I'll start with there. Because what I find is that the body, if you actually work with it, it will. There's a slippery. We always talk about the slippery road to, you know, to everything else. The slippery road to health is your body will start to crave the food that it needs, and it'll start to crave. You know, I really want to feel like I need to do some stretching, or I feel like I need to do something. So there's kind of a basic, you know, yes, it's a naturopathic thing. This internal wisdom of the body that if you actually pay attention to why the body is trying to do what it's doing, and you work with that person's body, and you work with their what their framework. Some people like to do tea. Some people like to do exercise. Some people like to do. They have a very busy life. They need to have like nuts in the car, something very simple. I will work with a patient's current lifestyle and find things that I can plug into that lifestyle in a way that that person then can go forward. And you know, my happiest day, I saw someone the other day, and she said, "Hey, it's been 3 years. I haven't seen you. I've been well." It was like she was apologizing.
Oh, wow.
I think that's wonderful. That's what I want. See, I want that. That would make me
right.
The happiest is when I'm seeing family members who are not well yet, but you're well. You don't need me. You're not taking pills and you're not taking potions. You're just doing the things that you need to do to stay well throughout your life. And I feel completely successful when a patient no longer needs to see me at all. So, and they send their family, which is great.
But you do use nutrition and botanicals and supplements, correct?
Yeah, I do. I actually give patients samples to make sure that they'll take them, that they taste good. I use a wide variety of botanicals, typically things that would be fairly non-toxic. I try to use those as opposed to some Chinese herbs. I'm pretty familiar with most of the supplements on the market and with the various qualities of those. And so I'll work people through. If people have baskets of botanicals, I'll use those. I also use a lot of homeopathics because I find that if they are helpful for people, then it's very easy for them to take it at night once after brushing their teeth, and that's very mild when it works. When it doesn't work, they look at me and I say, well, that just doesn't work for you. Let's move on. So I use that. I use a lot of lifestyle change. So I'll talk to them about, you know, this is when you need to eat. This is when you need to do this. The nutrition piece, I don't think of it even as nutrition because I'm kind of revamping everything in their life. So it kind of the
right.
Nutrition and lifestyle stuff rolls in together because I'm trying to, in many cases, just putter about in their whole life and just move it. You know, it's kind of shifting them over about two steps towards healthier food, but they don't realize it. When I do it right, they've gotten healthier and didn't realize that they did. So it's built into the whole lifestyle change for me. I'll occasionally use drugs if I need to. So.
But also too, we think, you know, everybody when they think about naturopathic physicians, as we said in the beginning, about Green Goop and Birkenstocks, you know, but. Really, I can remember working with a client for 7 years, and the only change that person was able to make in 7 years was going from 5 to 6 2-liters a day of Diet Coke to 2 liters of two liters of regular Coke a day.
Right.
But that was the only change that person was able to do. But you know what? That was a change because they took that really super funky chemical. They might have traded in for another one, but, you know, you got to look at your level of toxic stuff, you know. You know, are we worried about radiation or are we worried about, you know, plastic bottles? You know, you got to pick and choose your dangerous spots. But, you know, it's been that long. And then you look at...
Yeah.
You know, if somebody's ordering a quarter pounder without the salad, meaning lettuce, tomato, pickles, and onions, you say, is there any one of those things that you can add in? And they're like, nope, no way. And what I do with my patients is I have these, they're seed powders that I get from the specific company, and I'll mix them in the food when it's already cooked. And they have no clue that it's in there. So you've gotten that in there. It just was passive enough that you never even noticed. you know, or they'll have potatoes and I'll be sprinkling something under there. Or when I make, even if it's just plain fried chicken that they're eating, you can put it in the same container as the spices and they don't even know what it is, you know. You just kind of have to fool people, but that's what you have to do for some people to get those nutrition in there, because if your body doesn't get it, it doesn't get it, it's not going to work. I mean, we think about how far and how diverse the areas that we live in. And, you know, Dr. Chris lives in Maine. I live in the Deep South. I was reading an email yesterday about a grocery store I used to go to in Arizona, and they're giving B12 and homeopathic injections in the grocery store. It's like, my goodness, how far and diverse healthcare is. You know, and it's like, man, wow. I miss that so much. It's like, I really miss that, you know. But then I think back and I'm like, how far the other people have to go. And I don't think everybody's going to be on the same plane. In other words, I think we're really getting the spread now, you know. Everybody's going to be all along the paradigm. The paradigm is going to be getting even wider now, you know. Because people just don't know what to do. They're picking and choosing. They're picking and choosing wrong. You know, they're getting punished by either side of the realm, you know. Should I do natural? Well, don't you go to your regular doctor? And the regular doctor saying, well, don't you go to that natural doctor? And it's like, that's what you and I strive not to say, is that everybody needs to work together to do the little things in the middle. Because otherwise, you know, your body will start feeling the tension of feeling pulled apart. You know, and we don't want you to feel pulled apart, right?
No. We want, I work for my patients, and I work, what I call compliance is basically I need to find a program that works for them. I'm not going to force screen group on anybody. I'm not going to force anything on anybody. Then you're in charge of me. I mean, it's like going to your mechanic and having him say, well, what do you want to have done? And I have patients that are all on conventional medication, and I have patients that like green goop when they have it, but I'm not the one who gave it to them. But the idea is I meet people where they are, and everybody's individual, and it's helping people on that individual journey that's most rewarding. You know, if you get somebody's, if you take them a small, some people take small steps to health, some people take big steps to health, and it's our job just to provide them with the guidance to take the next step.
Well, Dr. Chris, it's been a pleasure having you with us today. I know you do have several things that you've written that are on Amazon. If you could give us, we have about 2 minutes left. Give us a little bit of information on that and also about your website. That would be great.
Sure. My website's maloneymedical.com, MaloneyMedical.com. And that's got about 150 pages of free medical information on there. It's a lot of medical studies that are really useful for people, and they can look up individual diseases. I also have a blog that it's called Alternative Holistic Health Answers, and I've got about 154 different answers that I've given people on that. And then I've got a couple different books, and there's more books in the way. They're on Amazon.com, and just look up Dr. Christopher Maloney, and it's M-A-L-O-N-E-Y, and on Amazon.com, and I think you'll see ND versus MD, and there's going to be a couple more coming out. I'm actually just sent a proposal to a book publisher just yesterday. So there'll be more coming out, and I'm publishing. And if anybody out there listening needs information or has specific requests for information, they can contact me through my website, maloneymedical.com, and I'm glad to email people anywhere in the country or the world and say, hey, this is where I would go next, because my job in my life is to help people get better.
Well, I'd like to thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a pleasure. I know there's a lot of information. And to the listeners, I hope that they're able to replay this show and just listen to a piece or, you know, pick up a sentence or two. If you just put it on as background noise, eventually you'll pick up the concepts of what Dr. Chris and I were trying to speak about today. So thank you so much for being with us today, Dr. Chris.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So if anybody would like more information about Dr. Christopher Maloney, his information is on today's show page. The links are there, and you just click on them. It'll go directly to his website. It will also go directly to the two books that he was speaking about. And if you'd like more information, you can contact him through his website, and he'll be more than happy to send you an email, or if you call in and make an appointment to speak with him, More than happy to speak with you. If you're having any trouble with connecting with Dr. Maloney, you can always contact me and I will direct you to him. My website is outoftheboxhealthcare.com and there's also a contact us page on my website. Thank you so much for being with us today. And as we start next week, we will be going into one or two more naturopathic physicians and then we will start talking about end of life, divorce, grief, and that will be till the end of the year. Thank you so much for being with us. Have a great day.